How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. Journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Lutheran Confessions are adamant about this in several places, that God has not promised to work in and for us apart from what they call his external word, meaning there, of course, Scripture as it is read, as it is preached, proclaimed, and taught. Why is that so important that we not go looking for God's work, seeking for God to do something apart from his word? And of course, that still leaves the question for us to answer, how does God work through his word, and why does he work only through his word? We're going to be talking about how God uses his word. Dr. John Bombaro joins us. He's missionary for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving as the Assistant Director of Theological Education at Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia, and he's author of a recent column titled, Why God Works Through Words. Dr. Bombaro, welcome back.
It's a joy to be with you again, Todd.
So why is it important to maintain that God works through his word and not just any old words?
The answer is bound up with the knowability of God, that God makes himself known with specificity. That's to say, he's very specific about who he is and what he is like. So that God works through his word and not just any words is really a matter of the right identification. If this were not the case and it was just any words, human words, then we would be dealing with a phenomenon that was anthropological and not theological. We would be dealing with something that pertains to religion, the religious things that human beings believe and think, rather than the study and the science of God, how God makes himself known. So if it's just any old words, it could be completely subjective. It's a product of the subject. Historically, we've talked about this in categories of Gnosticism, just the Gnosticoi, these ones with the secret or the hidden knowledge. And the problem with that is that there is no confirmation of that word. There's no externalization. There's no verification. There's nothing to say that this is, in fact, the Creator God. This is who he is and how he is, since the origin and source of the words would be a human subject and not the divine being. So it's all about the difference between objectivity and subjectivity. And this is why God works through his word, a word that has confirmation.
So why does God work only through his word? Why doesn't he also work through, say, ideas or images or feelings?
Well, this would, again, render it subjective. It would be the product of the human being rather than God himself. Because the word is God and God is as his word, the word then constitutes God. So there's a necessity to God making himself known in and through the word as the word, just as St. John says in his prologue that in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. So God works through his word out of a matter of necessity. He is speaking himself. He is revealing himself in a way that corresponds with his very being or essence.
Why is this idea that God works only through his word, why is it resisted in our time?
Well, I think that it's resisted in our time for a number of reasons. And this goes back to Robert Jensen's wonderful First Things article about 20 years ago entitled How the World Lost Its Story. And what he argues in there, and I think convincingly and irrefutably so, is that we live in a narratable world, that our world is understood, engaged, and interpreted in terms of a narration, story, and that there was a grand narrator for the world, namely God. And God, his great narrative of creation and redemption that takes us from the alpha point to the omega point, from the beginning to the end, from the terminus ad quo to the terminus ad quem. That narration is the umbrella story for all of our individual and collective stories. Now, the problem is today is that the narratable world has collapsed around the individual narrator, that we are the ones who are the final arbiters of truth for us. In a post-rational world, emotions and feelings really determine the state of affairs for us, from my perspective. And so we resist the idea that there is a grand narrator of our world, namely God himself. Again, things are left to us to determine what is truth. And to receive the other story is to be named by it. It is also to be claimed by it, as well as accountable to it.
You say that Jesus presents us with a first theology. What do you mean by that, Dr. Bambaro?
Well, first theology are the foundational principles by which we may apprehend God as he is in himself. So by way of analogy, we would say that a theology of gift is a kind of first theology, where the Father is the giver, the Son is the gift, and the Holy Spirit is the given or the giving. So in Scripture we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that in the fullness of time he sent forth or gave his Son." So this gives us an idea of how to understand God in a very basic and fundamental way. Jesus, as the Word, he is the Logos incarnate. He is the Logos made flesh, tabernacling with us. This, too, is a first theology. We would say that because God has made himself known supremely in the Word made flesh, that he has, as it were, translated himself into human categories, and then that Word not only being made flesh, but communicating to us in words, words that, again, create and redeem, that have authority. Jesus himself is giving us a logocentric or word-centered understanding of divine revelation and action. It becomes the distinguishing mark that we are dealing with the creator and redeemer of the world. So if it is not in and through the Word of God, again, divine specificity being at play here, then we would lose all confidence that we're actually dealing with the living God. And if we have lost confidence there, then there's no place to actually put our trust. So in focusing on Jesus and having this logocentricity, this Christ-centeredness, it turns out that the Word is the stamp of divine authenticity as well as specificity.
Dr. John Bambaro is our guest. We're talking about how God uses his Word. He's author of a recent column titled "Why God Works Through Words." On the other side, how is God's use of words different from ours? How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, "Your church is too Catholic"? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about how God uses His Word. Dr. John Bombaro is our guest. So, if you would contrast how God uses words with how we use them.
I would say that there are three things that would identify how God's use of words is different than ours. The first thing is truth. Since He is the truth, He always speaks the truth. That is, He speaks Himself. That would be the first way. The second way is perspective, where we have limited, desperately limited perspective on reality. God sees things and knows things, we would say in Latin, subspecie aeternitatis, from the auspices or from the perspective of the eternal. He has comprehensive knowledge. And so His use of the words are always going to correspond to the truth, which is Himself, and the state of affairs. And then the third way would be in terms of that first theology. The way that we usually use words is going to be different than God's. We use words normally just simply to merely name something. We see things, we experience a phenomenon, we identify it in our mind, as it were, and then we give it a name. We name it. With God, things work differently. So, for instance, in creation, God perfectly knew what He wanted to create. And so He speaks forth the word, and then there is a result. It was so. So it's through His word that He creates and recreates. He does things in words that are, and quite frankly, much different than the way that we do things with word. The way that we use words is, in a sense, derived from the way that God uses words.
So I wonder then, how does God's use of His word, as we've described it so far, how does it teach us about the Trinity itself?
This is a good question, and it's related to first theology as well. So God the Father is a perfect being, has perfect knowledge of Himself. But it's not just simply an idea. He doesn't just have a concept of Himself. For that to be perfect knowledge of Himself, that knowledge would have to be substantial. It can't just be a thought. It must be substantial. That's to say, of His essence. And so it would have to exist eternally and exist as the perfection of the Father. This is how we've understood and articulated the eternal generation of the Son, the only begottenness of the Son. He is the one perfect, full, substantial, there's that key word, and real enunciation of the Father. So the Son is eternally begotten, logos of the Father, the Father's own self-narration. And I really like that word as it relates to the word logos. The word logos can mean a variety of different things, like message or saying, but it's also bigger, thicker, and richer. It carries the notion of reason, rationale, even narrative, right? The story. So God is speaking or narrating Himself, beginning with the Father, then the Son. And then the way that we relate this in terms of the Holy Trinity comes from the performative speech act philosophy or verbal actions that originated with Ludwig Wittgenstein, but then was codified by J.L. Austin in his book, How to Do Things with Words. So if we understand the Father as primary in this regard, He is the locutor, the speaker, and He issues forth an elocution, that is to say, the word. He speaks. And then there is the power or efficacy of that word. What that word does, it's the power, or what we would say is the perlocutionary force or illocutionary force, that that word has effect, a substantial effect. And so the love between the Father and the Son is perfect, full, and substantial. We have eternal spiration of the Holy Trinity in the same way that we have the eternal generation of the Son. So as a first theology, this understanding of the word, this logocentricity, is really, really important. We can understand how it is that God speaks through the word in a necessary and essential way. And yet, there's even more than that. It's not just all pie in the sky, as it were, in abstract theology. It's concrete. This theology, this first theology, tells us that this God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a personal, communicative, and loving agent. So the Father may be identified as the locutor, the speaker. The Son is the elocution or enunciation. That's the word spoken. And the Holy Spirit as the illocution. That's the intention of the locutor and perlocutionary force, the power or efficacy of the word. So we should not have a low view of words, but hold them up as high and substantial and powerful.
How does Jesus' incarnation, in some sense, make God comprehensible?
It's because we have the self-giving communication of God in and through the word. It happens by the self-giving of the word. So that word is made flesh and makes God comprehensible, because God is translated, as it were, into human categories, the very categories that humanity understands best. And the categories that we understand best are human categories. And not just merely human categories, but the very way in which we communicate in human categories, which is speech. That is primary. That is basic. So the incarnation puts God into the categories of knowability for humanity, using the very, as it were, tools of humanity by which we communicate. Words are representative. They represent something. God represents himself in the domain of spatiotemporality in and through the word made flesh. And this is why God works through the word, namely so that the truth about God and the experience of God may be perpetually objectified. It's communal. We can gather around this word because it exists outside of us and it defines our reality. So the incarnation is critical, that God has made himself known in human categories.
Finally, with only a minute, why is it important to maintain that God's word can only be received by the gift of faith?
It's all about trusting God, the promise-making creator. It's about trusting him to be the promise-keeping savior. So faith says, yes, Lord, you are as your word, and your word is as you. We go back to, again, specificity and to identifiability. It's important to maintain that God's word can be received only by faith, because it's about a matter of his own self-disclosure, not about us ascending up in some sort of a Gnostic or esoteric kind of way to God, but about divine condescension, about divine accommodation, coming down here for us as one of us, that we may know him and how he is toward us. So it's all about a God revealing himself in the maximal kind of way, according to how he is and in the categories that we know best.
Dr. John Bombaro is missionary for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving as the Assistant Director of Theological Education at Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia, and author of a recent column titled Why God Works Through Words. You'll find a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. Bombaro, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Todd.
In the next hour of Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about For God So Loved the World in John chapter 3.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is Monica Shannon, Life Coordinator for the Southern Illinois District Advocates for Life. We invite you to join your brothers and sisters in Christ for a peaceful, life-affirming prayer vigil from 10 to 11, Saturday morning, March 20th, at Planned Parenthood in Fairview Heights, Illinois. For more information, visit sidadvocatesforlife.com. sidadvocatesforlife.com.